Come gather around people wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, except that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone, for the times, they are changing.
I'm going to record something just to start out here. All right, this is, I'm going to record. All right, hello, Deadpan. This is Paul Mackey. It's, just coming up on the 7 o'clock p.m. Showing of The Watchmen. It's 6:30. And I'm here with some friends. You want to say anything?
Hey, Jack, it's Hell Ziggy, Sharon. How you been? Hi.
So, Sharon, what's your background with The Watchmen? Have you read the graphic novel?
All right. I was just wondering.
Yeah, I read it a few years ago. It was sort of required because I used to own a comic book store.
Okay. That would do it?
And so I've been waiting for the unfilmable movie.
All right, well, we'll see. We'll see what we end up with here.
Third straight episode of Watchmen content. Sorry if listener doesn't appreciate Watchmen or hasn't heard or is unfamiliar. Must be tough. Appreciate listening, though. Host Jack Mangan, a.k.a. Ozymandias. Or Ozymandias. Ozymandias? Or however it's pronounced. Thank you for listening, and, yes. Apologies if Watchmen is not your thing and you're still going through this, then kudos to you. However, if you do appreciate what Watchmen is, more from the graphic novel perspective than the current hit movie, which, you know, there's lots of reaction about that. Anyway, we're doing Watchmen content. This is Watchmania Part 3, which we've never done before in Deadpan. We've John Shirley, the fantastic, important cyberpunk novelist, and Richard Hatch, of Battlestar Galactica and of Battlestar Galactica. Both of them got two-part episodes because the content went for so long. But Watchmen, we started talking about the graphic novel, and it's such rich material. Here we have, this is going to be a third episode, and you know what? There's going to be stuff that's not going to make it into this one. So there will be Watchmen content in future Deadpans. However, I anticipate the future Deadpans will be more straight-up Deadpans. So, I think... But it's great, you know, I'm glad we did all this. And Watchmen, the source material, deserves it. So there'll be thoughts on the film from you guys. If there's time, I'll give my opinion, because I've seen the movie. I actually got to see the movie with Dan Thall and Dan Charette and his lovely fiance. A couple other points before we dive into the content, because I'm going to shut up for a while, is that I have been completely PWN'd of late. So, feeling about as witty as a sitcom from the 80s right now. Or really to, I'm sort of like an anti-Rob Zombie song, because I feel less human than human. So that's another good thing about these Watchmen shows, is that I haven't had to do much thinking. But I'll try to do more thinking when Deadpan resumes. Hopefully I'll be in a space for that. I identified one of the reasons for my lack of ability to think recently, and I got some fantastic feedback from a lot of you guys, and... Again, I don't know who wants to be called out and who wants to remain anonymous, so I'll just say thank you for the kind emails and for the resources and for the meetings with people that I've had and everything. You know, we're still looking up the mountain, so to speak, but this has been very helpful and I appreciate it. And I'm glad I put out the call. I hate to bring drama to the pan, but it was a good thing. Are you still there? You're not bored? All right, good. We're going to do some... We had a Watchmania contest for those who had seen the film, and we have contest winners, so we'll announce those at some point during this episode. And actually, our lovely vocalist in the beginning, I think they'll get some credit in this contest, but we'll announce that. We'll get to that. Although, to be honest with you, maybe I should recognize that voice, but and I have an idea, but I'm not exactly sure. So if you could do me a favor, send me an email and out yourself as whoever the singer is that we played at the beginning of this episode. Although, you know, this was important stuff. All right, Deadpan is the mother frackin' way. And if you listen to all that babble, then bless you.
What's happening?
Captain, Romulans are closing in and targeting us.
Open a channel.
They are refusing to talk, but sending a message.
Make us laugh or we'll fire. We are angry and require humor. Now!
Quickly, initiate an MP3 transfer directly to the Romulan ship. Send them all episodes of the Love, Long, and Prosper podcast.
Love, Long, and Prosper, sir?
Ooh, I love that show. I get the Foodcast theme stuck in my head every time I listen.
MP3 file transfer successful. I have also included a message letting them know that they can download future files at lovelongandprosper.com.
Captain, the Romulans are backing off. They appear to have completely lost interest in us. They've sent a message, but I can't understand what they're saying through all the laughter and coughing.
Excellent.
The Love Long and Prosper podcast at lovelongandprosper.com. You'll laugh till you cough.
Deadpan is the way.
Deadpan is the way.
Deadpan is the way.
Deadpan.
Deadpan is the way.
Hey, Deadpan, it's SB here. Been really, really busy at Evil Inc. lately, so did not have time to put together something thoughtful for the Watchmania podcast. But I did find a post that I wrote on my blog on July 23rd of 2007 that is a mini review of Watchmen. That was the first time I read the book, so I thought I would just read it as a small contribution to the discussion. The post on my blog, which is objectionablematerial.blogspot.com, if anybody's interested, is entitled Naked Superheroes. I am not a comic book geek. Though never diagnosed, I think that I have a mild form of dyslexia, which makes it very hard for me to track text when there's a lot of other things happening on the page. For me, comics are very slow going, difficult to follow, and tough to understand. I can devour a 1,500-page Thomas Pynchon novel more easily than a collected comic series most of the time. So the comic content really has to be amazing for me to invest the time and effort. I have recently gotten into more comics thanks to Joss Whedon's foray into the genre of late. Buffy Season 8 is currently underway in comic form, so what is a girl like me to do but figure out how to read the darn things?
Hello, Deadpan. This is Jack Jaffe, a.k.a. Trucker Overdrive. This is pretty much the only place where I still call myself Trucker Overdrive. Anyway, sorry behind on everything, including the Deadpan, and including doing Watchmania, which really sucks, because I actually got the Watchmen book before DragonCon 2008, and I'm only about a fifth of the way through it. I listen to more audiobooks and podcasts and stuff than I do have time to really sit down and read through it and stuff. And I was hoping to, like, you know, write something more, maybe a fanfic about Dr. Manhattan and, you know, and polyamory or something like that, being, you know, like, the only guy that could actually, you know, like, manage to keep 50 wives satisfied in Utah or something. Anyway.
Hello, Deadpan. This is Amy Bowen, a.k.a. the Deadpan Ambassador. I'm calling to leave my thoughts on the Watchmen movie, which I saw last night at the midnight movie premiere. I enjoyed it. I am in that camp of people who are saying that seeing the movie made them love the graphic novel even more than they already did. I really love all the characters in the movie. I have to say that my favorite parts of the movie were any scenes involving Archie, who just looked awesome on screen. Totally. Had a good time. Like you, CJ, I didn't care very much for a lot of the violence that was in there.
Everyone, this is Chris from the Jesus Geeks, and you are listening to Jack Mangan's Deadpan.
Hey, Jack, it's T. Okay, so, yeah, we're just going to do this in one take. We're going to keep it nice and short because you'll probably add this on to the Alan Moore Watchmen riff that we did for Watchmen Palooza. But last night, I went to go see Watchmen, and this is my official Deadpan review. That was by far one of the most incredible visual, one of the most incredible comic book movies I think I have ever seen. I would rank it right up there with The Dark Knight. I'd rank it right up there with Iron Man. I'd rank it right up there with actually going back to what we riffed about in the Happy Unfun show. Superman. I mean, the original 1978 Superman, Donner, Reeve, Hackman, that whole thing. I mean, this was a brilliant piece of cinematic work. It really was.
Ironic, who is a friend of mine, has been nudging me in the right direction for the past few years. Most recently, she sent me a copy of Watchmen for my birthday. I just finished the 12-issue series yesterday, and I'm here to tell you all it was well worth the investment. I would recommend this to anyone for the literary and pop culture references alone. Watchmen was written back in the 80s, is truly iconic in comic geek circles, was named one of Time Magazine's 100 best novels, and is being adapted into a feature film for next year. Because of all those reasons, I'm not going to summarize the story for you or tell you what I think the book means or what archetype each character represents or what symbols recur in the story. You'll be able to find all of that easily enough, I would imagine. Instead, I'll just say the following. This is my favorite kind of story. It reminds me a lot of Buffy, Angel, Battlestar Galactica, and other fantastic stories that are all just trying to say that humans aren't perfect, but are pretty amazing anyway. It gives you masked heroes and strips them down so that all of their flaws and occasionally their body parts are clearly showing. I loved it. That's it.
Let's see here. So far, my impressions of the book, it's kind of weird. It doesn't seem like any of the people other than Dr. Manhattan have any actual superhero powers. I mean, Rorschach's ability to basically be a moody, dark, super right-wing version of Wolverine, even though he doesn't predate Wolverine. But I don't know, it's kind of weird because I remember hearing that he's supposed to be based off The Question, which was a blank-faced hero, and they wanted, they put up Rorschach or whatever, they put an ink blot on his face so they couldn't get character of The Question. And, The Question was always kind of a conspiracy theorist, not necessarily this right-wing, finger-breaking douchebag that, for some weird reason, I just want somebody to kick his ass. He's a cool character, but, it's just his uber right-wing mentality just really is annoying. I don't know.
I was with a friend who had not read the graphic novel, and I offered to explain anything that she wanted to have explained, and the first question she came up with was, how does Rorschach get his mask to do that? So I told her all about Kitty Genovese, except that I couldn't remember her name in my sleep-deprived state, so I just called her some rich lady. And I told her about the dress and all that. So I think that was that might be a bit of a deficiency or a point of confusion. I decided I'm not going to leave any spoilers, but overall, I had a good time. I like the look. I really don't mind the different look for the costumes that much. It looks cool on screen. That's that's all I can think of off the top of my head without leaving any spoilers. Give everybody, if you're going to go see the movie, have a good time. Deadpan is the way.
Now, being that I am familiar with the text, with the Watchmen text, I knew that it was going to be full of twists and turns, but even knowing what was coming up next, I was still thoroughly enjoying myself. I found that it really stayed true to the text, and it still felt very dated. It still felt very dated, but maybe not as dated as the actual comic book is. And yes, I'm going to call it a comic book. Now, that being said, what did I not like about it? Well, one thing I didn't like about it is Alan Moore removing his name off the project. I realize that is his prerogative, but he really is coming across like a right chump. I mean, Alan Moore, if you are listening, fuck you, okay? And I'm going to say that with all passion and conviction behind my voice. Why? Because, you know what? Very few authors get their stuff revered the way yours gets revered. And I think it's rightfully revered because as you heard me say in the Watchmen Palooza, you know, you're brilliant. I mean, Alan Moore is a brilliant guy, but you know, no, it's not going to be word for word exactly what you wrote. I know for a fact if I am ever fortunate enough to have somebody revere my source material the way Zack Snyder revered his source material, you know what? It's not going to be completely accurate, but it's going to be as accurate as film allows it to be.
Hello, Deadpan. Paul Mackey. Post Watchmen. I'm currently driving to the bar afterwards. Not positive I'm going to get Helsinki back on, but we'll see. Give it a shot here, but first, got to drive to, as I said, the bar. So, thoughts. It was good. I enjoyed the heck out of that movie. I don't know if it really built the tension well for me. Not the, the Cold War tension that I talked up about the graphic novel. Maybe I shouldn't be recording while driving and not being able to see through the windshield because it's all smeary with road salt and whatnot. Yeah, maybe not, but here I am. All right, so yes, I will try to get Helsinki back on mic to talk about the movie. We'll see how it goes. All right, well, I will check back in with you in the vicinity of the bar. All right, so, Sharon's husband, Rick, he's got this tendency to calling me John. And, it's not inexplicable. I mean, I understand why, but still, interesting. A little disconcerting, like I said. And the other question is, do I really know where this bar is? I don't.
Ozymandias? 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 Raymond Luxury Yacht? Ozymandias?
Anyway, I'm desperate to see what's going on, you know, in the book and stuff, and why they killed the comedian and stuff, and unfortunately, like, I'm only getting into the premise of the whole thing, and not even into the meat and potatoes of the real big twist or reveal, so... Oh, well, I just feel left out and feel behind. I don't know. The other thing is that as I'm reading through this, I realize a lot of the references to 1980 post-Cold War stuff is relatively dated, and I really wish I could have experienced the book when it was in its prime in the 1980s, but heck, I was nine, so while I was pretty well politically motivated, I probably wouldn't have gotten nuances. Anyway, my battery's dying. Keep up the good work, Jack, and hopefully I'll get caught up and get my laptop issues straightened out and be able to do more for the Deadpan, even though I'm sure there's many out there that are like, yay, we don't have Trucker Overdrive on the Deadpan. Anyway, talk to you guys later. Bye.
Major changes. Spoilers coming up. Spoilers. Major changes. The downplaying of the making the rape of Silk Spectre 1 an attempted rape. The downplaying and of the whole subplot line of Silk Spectre 2's father being the comedian. I could live with that. And I actually will say I think I could also buy the Dr. Manhattan being framed for the disaster versus a giant squid alien creature uniting, you know, slash attack, whatever. Really, the way they have built up and the way that America was becoming so reliant on Dr. Manhattan, if you really think about it, listen up, Alan, because somebody actually outthought you on this one. If you really look at the way they were building up Dr. Manhattan throughout the entire movie and even in the comic book, it makes more sense to frame Dr. Manhattan for what's happening than a giant squid falling from outer space and crushing everyone in New York or however they did it. I found the Dr. Manhattan being framed for everything twist brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. And there were a few other changes in and out, and you know, I was okay with them. They were very true to Rorschach. They were very true to the comedian. I was pleasantly surprised at how much they actually got in Watchmen. So, you know, no complaints. No complaints. Do I still stand by what I feel concerning where I rank Alan Moore's work? Yeah. But of all the films I've seen of Alan Moore's, or excuse me, of all the adaptations I've seen of Alan Moore's stuff, I think Watchmen stands far above all the others. But then again, I have not seen the V for Vendetta that the Wachowski brothers did, so I don't know. I find though that Watchmen was just a wonderful piece of work. It wasn't just a good comic book movie; it was a good commentary on comic book heroes. It was a good film to begin with.
All right, let's give away some shit. I'm going to play the three voicemails that were the winners. And I'm going to play them in order. So the first you hear, I'm going to play them in the reverse order that I receive them. Yeah, so the first you hear will get the third place prize donated by Anonymous, which is a Deadpan t-shirt. So if you're listening and you hear that you're the third prize winner, then send me an email. The second voicemail will get a Denny's gift certificate. Hooray. And I think we'll give... We actually have a Denny's gift certificate to give away to our crooner at the beginning, too, if she comes forth. And those are courtesy of Brad P. of the Whole Lot of Nonsense podcast. And the first prize, courtesy of Sinful, is a Watchman, or not Watchman, the hell, Watchmen graphic novel, free. And, yeah, obviously the third voicemail I play will get that, so you can play your drum rolls. Here's the third place coming up right now, the winner of the t-shirt.
Hello, this is Amy Bowen, a.k.a. the Deadpan Ambassador again. This is attempt number two to get a giveaway entry in. Okay, so, first minute of the movie Watchmen. First, we've seen a completely yellow screen, which got our attention that the movie is starting, followed by an assortment of company logos in black. And if I remember correctly, the next image after that was of Edward Blake's smiley face button that he's still wearing on his bathrobe. And so the first minute of the movie is just him in his apartment, and we get to see stuff like the pictures he has of his fellow costumed adventurers. And he's watching TV, and they're talking about the nuclear doomsday clock being at 5 minutes to midnight. And then an ad for the Nostalgia cologne comes on. Start playing Unforgettable, and his mysterious attacker comes into the room. And I think I've just covered the first minute. So there you go. Deadpan is the way.
Hey, Jack, this is Paul. So anyway, the very first bit of Watchmen is a sort of a, you know, a montage of like news clips and things, just sort of getting you into the world, trying to figure out exactly what's going on. They explain the Nixon thing pretty quick off and everything. So that's it. Hopefully that's adequate as a contest entry, although I do want to say I don't want first prize. I'd much rather win the T-shirt. All right? Okay, so if I get randomly drawn for first prize or whatever the heck that is, or was it just in order of received? I don't know. Either way, I don't want the book. I got the book. I want the T-shirt. Thanks. Bye.
Hi there, this is CJ, and I just left my first viewing of Watchmen at Tempe Marketplace in Capri, which is apparently the biggest theater in the valley. And I'm supposed to describe the first minute of the movie, which was like 3 hours ago, so I don't know how I'm supposed to remember the entire first minute, but here's what I remember. It was Robert Downey Jr. He's kind of buffed out, really scruffy looking, sitting on a sofa, wearing a horrible ugly robe, kind of looked like a tweed sofa upholstery robe type deal, smoking a cigar, watching some TV, and the TV was like embedded into the wall. So it was like, even though it was like an old-fashioned TV with channels, it was kind of futuristic because it was embedded into this weird tiled wall.
Nostalgia TV.
It was like totally nostalgia TV, yeah. And I think it was like the news talking, yapping away, whatever. Anyway, right next to the TV on the table was like a 4-foot-tall wooden penis. I am so not kidding. And it was like really smooth. It reminded me of this episode of Star Trek I just watched where this guy was... Never mind. Anyway, so that's what I remember. And then like... He's just smoking a cigar, watching the news, and then somebody came to the door, and, you know, hopefully by now y'all know who that is, and the guy beats him up and throws him out a window. Was there more to that?
That's about it.
I think, I was so awestruck by the giant penis that I really don't remember. Anyway, if I want my contest entry to be valid, I have to say Deadpan is the motherfucking way. Love you guys. Bye.
You are listening to Jack Mangan's Deadpan Podcast. He says deadpan is the way. I do not understand the purpose of this statement. My deadpan was pre-installed. Please input clarification.
I also feel that mainstream press, and even to some extent the sci-fi press, are not going to help this movie at all. It's going to be word of mouth. It's going to be word of mouth that perpetuates the success of Watchmen. And with its price tag of $150 million, if it breaks even, I'll be thrilled. But I did. I found Watchmen to be an absolutely exceptional piece of work. And for those of you deadpans who are out there, who are listening, who have read Watchmen, do yourself a favor and go see it. And for people who are coming in cold to it, just tell them it's not your average comic book movie. If you just tell them this is dark. It is really dark. And you tell them that these superheroes are not necessarily superheroes. You know, they got flaws. They got issues. You tell people that, I think they'll dig it. I think they will. So, pretty happy with it. Pretty happy with it. Thanks, Deadpanites. Remember, Deadpan, it's the motherfucking way. See you later, Jack.
And you think of something...
Well, I don't want a bunch of dead space.
It's live. It's live right now.
Oh, jeez, the pressure. Well, I agree with what you said about that it was the best movie that could be made. The pacing was interesting because it seemed slow, but it was a long hour instead of a short 3 hours.
It was intentional.
So,
I thought it had its own tensions, but it lost the Cold War tension for me. I mean, the threat of nuclear annihilation was not constantly referenced. You know, that was the drumbeat of if there's a drumbeat in a comic, that's the drumbeat of the comic that just keeps propelling things forward. And that was
I would agree with that. I was glad that actually they didn't focus on that. I think it would have been a mistake to try and focus on something else because nothing's that omnipresent in today. And it would have been silly to try and bring that back because our generation lived through it, and we're so relieved to be past it. I don't think they could bring back that sort of bugaboo.
Is there tonight chocolate cake or anything for y'all?
No.
Shepherd checks tonight?
Yeah.
But yeah, and that is true. We had a discussion before, just discussing the comic itself, and the resident youngin on the deadpan said that she didn't get that. You know, she read the comic and she didn't really feel it the way that I felt.
It didn't feel such like crushing dread.
Yeah,
yeah, that definitely resonated a lot more. So I was actually happy they didn't focus as much on it. It was just a story factor.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I have a hard time really digesting it because it's so fantastic to see the images come to life. And some of the things were done just fantastically. It couldn't have been done in the comic. Like the fight scenes, the choreography and the action was spectacular. The angles and everything was so well thought out and it carried so well through. And the rest of it that was literally storyboarded from the comic panels. It was so cool to see him come to life, but I almost feel like it distracted me continuously from really understanding it as a movie.
Yeah.
You know? Because I'll have to watch it again maybe in a couple weeks just to see it as a movie rather than to see the comic coming to life. Because it was just so cool to see some of those scenes really literally walk up and be on the scene.
Final point I want to make now, because I'll forget later, and this is really important. This episode is being released on Wednesday, March 18th, which means that in 2 weeks, April 1st will be here, which will be the second anniversary since the death of my friend and podcaster, who familiar to many of you, Joe Murphy, who is well known as an alum of the Kick-Ass Mystic Ninjas podcast, and of course, for his beloved role on Wingin' It. So this is not a social media meme or an exercise or a way to look cool or hip or a way to mobilize the social media community. This is just, if you care to, then April 1st, pay tribute to Joe in some way, however you see fit. If it's just having a root beer or a root beer float, so be it. If it's just using the word brilliant, fantastic. If it's going back and listening to old Wingin' It's or the tribute episodes, even better. Or if you are a Twitterer or some kind of social media person, put an image of Joe up on your blog or your avatar or something. Joe Murphy was a really good friend, a good guy. And he was robbed of a future by leiomyosarcoma. The JMMF is, the site is still there, although the donations, I think the button is there, but donations are currently closed. So I would say you probably, at the moment, I mean, the news might change, but for the moment I would say, you know, don't donate through that way. If you want to give money to the Joe Murphy cause, then contact me. Or contact, I'll put them out there, contact T. Morris, and we'll find a way to put that money that you want to donate to the right cause. It would most likely, to be honest, go to the hospice that took care of Joe in his final days. All right, thank you very much, everyone, for the Watchmen content. We've had 3 freaking shows full of it. Holy crap. And there's still more to come. There's still dumbass memories from Amy Bowen, and more, much more about Alan Moore in general from T. Morris, as well as my own thoughts. I do have thoughts, I just forgot them. So that's it. Thank you very much again for making Watchmania Part 1, 2, and 3, and then even the stuff that's still to come, a success. The next Deadpan, whether it be unshow or regular show, will be more of what we're used to, more the classic Deadpan. Yeah, that's it. I know life has been busy and tough for everyone, and Deadpan is not as much on the brain, but we're still getting comments. However, whatever the comments total is for this week, let's beat it for the next week. That's all. And while we're talking about the comments, one of our most prolific commenters, the Energizer Bunny, is nominated for, oh crap, an award. A very prestigious, cool Canadian science fiction award. Oh, I should edit this out because I sound like an idiot. I mean, it's probably kind of funny. But congratulations to Energizer Bunny. And, geez, I'm sorry. But you deserve your science fiction award for the World Fantasy Podcast, which is actually very, very reputable. And, all right, hang on. I'm going to find it. Oh, wrong keyword. A Prix Aurora Award. Okay, I'm going to leave this in and let you all laugh at me for being stupid. A Pre-Aurora Award, the Canadian equivalent of the Hugos, for the World Fantasy 08 podcast. I just said Prix Aurora. Good grief. Time to call it quits here. There's actually more from the post-Hellbob, Hellziggy, Paul Mackey film conversation. And that great stuff from them, great stuff from everyone who contributed. So again, I'm really appreciative. So I'm going to leave out, and I'm not coming back after the Hellziggy. Deadpan is the way. Keyboard click.
And I liked all the character castings. I thought they were dead on. The one thing I would say is that Dr. Manhattan was really, really cool. But he seemed like the best CGI ever. And I know it was a guy with some CGI.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just that there's been so much CGI in movies lately that it's hard not to think of things as CGI. But yeah, he seemed like, wow, that's the most awesome CGI ever. You didn't think of it as a guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Overall, I really liked it. I really thought it was great.
If I didn't know who the actor was, I wouldn't have been able to see it as someone at all, since I didn't know that was Billy Crudup.
Yeah, I didn't really know Billy Crudup that much to be able to identify him by looks.
Yeah.
But I like that there's just something that CGI artists haven't been able to capture yet, and it's usually around the mouth. Like, even when they make the teeth somewhat uneven,
yeah,
it's still never quite organic. They've really captured a lot about the face in a lot of CGI movies you can see, especially anime stuff, but it's very, very difficult, I think, to convincingly capture the mouth. So it always seemed like Dr. Manhattan was CGI from the nose up.
Yeah.
And yeah, human from the mouth down. Almost like one of those Conan skits where the mouth is talking through the hole.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah. Gary, you just compared Dr. Manhattan to a Conan script.
Well,
it is true.
He was about as expressionless as some of those cutouts. But anyway, no, I was very impressed. I really need to kind of digest it and get over the gee whiz factor.
Sure. So. All right. Well,
hope that helps.
We've got a fair amount there. So anyway, this is Paul Mackey at the Granite City Brewery and wrapping up after Watchmen. And
you guess didn't know what you're getting into asking me to talk.
I'll check back in with you guys later on at the Deadpan. So Deadpan's a motherfucking way.